Job 29 tonight. If you'd open your Bibles to Job 29, we'll be looking at the text as we work our way through it. And before we do, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word, and we thank you for your people. We pray you minister to us tonight as we examine this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a very familiar and practical verse found in the book of Philippians. It says, "Finally, brethren, what is honorable? What is right? What's pure? What's lovely? What's of good report? If there be any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on those things." The Apostle Paul, in writing that verse, knew there would be times in the Christian life where we just need to think about good things. We need to let our minds reflect back on good things that have happened, good things that we've seen God do in the past. Sometimes thinking about good things and good times in the past is a great way to cope if you're going through lousy things in the present. You know, there's an old saying that says, don't live in the past, but the truth is sometimes it'll get you through the present hour, especially if life at the present time is falling apart. It's good to think back about when life wasn't falling apart, and that's exactly what Job does in this 29th chapter of the book of Job. For just a few minutes, what Job did is he allowed his mind to leave the harsh realities of the hurt that he was actually under, to leave the harsh realities of the problems and pressures that were upon him, and he let his mind go back to a time when he had experienced the blessings of God. Now, Job had been a man who loved God and lived life in a way that feared God. In fact, God said that about him himself. God said, "There's no man like Job on this earth who fears me and reverences me and walks in my ways." So in the past of the story of Job's life, it was a wonderful story. He knew God. He walked close with God. In fact, he did have the favor of God. And all the people around him knew that. They knew that God's hand was on him. People know and sense who God has his hand on. They knew that Job had certainly been blessed of God, but everything had changed. I mean, the fact of the matter is the bottom had fallen out of Job's world, and Satan had attacked Job, and he had taken just about everything away from Job, but the one thing he could not take away was his memories of the way life used to be. Life at one time had been good for Job, and this chapter looks back on a life that really had accomplished something for God. In fact, it looks back on reality. That's important. Job's not delusional here. He looks back on a life that did accomplish these things. He did live his life in a way that glorified the Lord. And what we learn here is when a faithful believer is experiencing one negative thing after another in the present, it's comforting to reflect on the many blessings of God we've experienced in the past. When you are faithful to the Lord and you are going through terrible, unexplainable negatives, there certainly is value in you thinking back to how God blessed you previously, how God used you previously. There's real comfort in remembering the way things were prior to the negatives. David Thomas, who wrote a commentary in the book of Job, said there are times when a person is justified to speak of himself. If you're speaking of true things that God has actually done. And this was one of those justifiable times in the life of Job. And in this chapter, we get a very personal and truthful look at how a man feared God, how God had used a man. We get a very personal look at how he lived his life before all the bad things hit him. He turns back the clock for us. We get to see what life was like. He longed for the past. He thought about the past. And in these verses, you can see why. Job could actually look back on a past life and say, "My life counted for something. I was not going through dark, dismal things. I saw God do many things." I mean, that's what Job can look back on his life and say. He longed for that again. And that's what he talks about in this chapter. Now, before we go through the chapter, let me just say this. This is more than just some trip down memory lane. These verses are proof that Job is innocent. You'll remember he's been accused of a whole lot of things. And by Job taking us and taking those guys who were there to hear this on a journey through what his past had been like, it certainly proved that he was innocent of the false charges they were alleging. When you look down through these verses, there are at least 16 past memories that he brings out. First of all, in the past, he had the care and protection of God. Notice what we read in verses 1 and 2. "And Job again took up his discourse and said, 'Oh, that I were as in months gone by, as in the days when God watched over me.'" That verb, watched over me, is interesting in Hebrew. It's a verb that means God gave him special care. There was a time when Job knew God's special care was on me. There was a time when God specially protected Job and cared for Job. It had been months since Job had sensed any of that. But Job says, I remember back to a time when God watched over me and he cared for me. Secondly, in the past, he had the blessings of God. He said in verse 3, when his lamp shone over my head. Now, a lamp and a light is often used as a symbol of the blessings of God that are upon a person. God's favor at one time had been on Job. God had shined the light of his blessings on Job's life, every aspect of it. There was a time in Job's life when his days were bright and shining and cheerful because the blessings of God were on his life. And whenever things got dark, God's light of blessings would shine brighter and brighter. And Job's remembering back to those times when the blessings of God were on him. Thirdly, in the past, he had the direction of God. In verse 3, and by his light I walked through darkness. Job said, I had God directing me through life. And there were literally times, since he had a lot of cattle and flocks, when he literally did have to walk at night through darkness, and God protected him through all of that, protected his family, protected his herds, protected his animals. God guided Job and led him in paths that were light paths, paths that were consistent with the word of God. And also the light of God's word guided him in past times. He faced some difficult times. He faced some obstacles, but he got through them all because he's remembering there was a time when God directed me through all those things. There was a time when he led me by his light through darkness. The fourth memory is that in the past he had the friendship of God. I love the way he describes it in verse 4. I was in the prime of my days when the friendship of God was over my tent. Man, that's neat language. Job says, when I was in the prime of my days, now he's not talking when he was a young teen, but I do think that he had a perspective of God as a young teen, which led him to become a young man. And in the prime of his days, his life had been filled with the blessings of God. His life was ripe and rich. God's favor was on him, and so was God's friendship. In fact, look at the language that he describes God's friendship in. He says there that when the friendship of God was over my tent. In other words, Job had sacred fellowship and friendship with God in the spot where he lived. He had intimate fellowship with God right in his tent. He knew that God was there. God was with him. God was watching over him. He's remembering that. His fifth memory is in the past. He had the presence of God. He says in verse 5, when the Almighty Shaddai was yet with me. God was with Job and God's hand was on Job. God was near to Job. Job sensed it. And the truth is, God still was doing that. The truth is, God still was watching over Job, still with Job, but with all of these negatives that had hit him. This poor guy lost track of that. He couldn't see it anymore. He couldn't sense it anymore. And he was thinking back to those moments that were so sweet in his fellowship with God. But months had passed. He could no longer sense the presence and power of God. Those days were gone. Now, before we move on, this certainly would teach us that there can be times in our lives when we go through things and God seems so far removed from us. There may be times we can look back in our life and we can say, boy, I know God was close to me there, but I'm not sensing it here. That's where Job was. And there could be times when we wonder, are our prayers even being heard? I mean, there was a time when they were, but are they being heard anymore? There are two thoughts that we want to remember in those moments. We need to remember the times when God seemed to be so close to us, so positive, so involved. And we also need to remember that our feelings are not reality. Just because we feel as if God is no longer watching over us doesn't mean he isn't watching over us. The fact of the matter is, God was very much interested in Job's life. In fact, he's about to bless him at a very unusual level. His sixth memory is in the past, he had his children around him. Verse 5 says, and my children were around me. Now, it's interesting because the Hebrew noun for children, na'ar, is a particular word that describes a wide range of ages. It could be children that are small, and it covers the gamut of small to grown. And all of us who are parents, I'm sure, wish we could turn back the clock. I think all of us who are parents wish we could go back in time when our children were little and we could have those moments back again, And we have fond memories of those moments. I think most of us remember when our parents were around us, and many of our parents are gone now. They're not around us anymore, but we can remember those times. That's what Job's doing here. Job says, man, I remember when there was a time when my children were around me, but now they're dead. Every one of his children had been killed. And there were moments in his life when he had longed to see them once again. He remembered back to those times when the children were around him. One time when I was visiting a nursing home, there was a woman there who was just crying. And she was saying, I just want to see my daughter. That was the longing of Job. He just wanted to see his children again. But the fact of the matter is, his children were gone. They were nothing more than a memory. The seventh memory is Job had had a smooth life. Verse 6 says, when my steps were bathed in butter. Now that's an interesting Hebrew word, that word butter. It's a Hebrew word that describes curded milk or thick milk like butter. The imagery that's being used here is in the context of a life that had been fully blessed by God. And Job is basically saying, I used to have a good life. I had a life with a lot of joy in it. In fact, life for me at one time had been smooth. God was guiding my steps. He was blessing my life. He kept me from stumbling. Which brings us to his eighth memory. He had a prosperous life. He says at the end of verse 6, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil. Job was a rich man. He had lived a life of luxury. Everything he did, he prospered. Oil back at this time was valuable, still is valuable. But it was valuable back then for cooking food. It was valuable for medicine. It was valuable for lamps, for anointing. And Job says, I'll tell you what my life was like. I actually found it in the rocks on the ground. Now, olive trees thrive in rocky soil. And what I understand the language here, and this is tricky a little bit, but what I understand the language to be saying is Job's olive trees produce so much oil, such a great yield, that the rocks around them were actually blocking it, and actually it was flowing. I mean, that's how much Job had been blessed. He was either using those rocks to press and direct the flow of the oil, but the fact of the matter is he uses language here that the oil was streaming out of his property. In other words, God was blessing him. What that means is life for Job had been very prosperous, but of course, it was all gone when Job's having these memories. Fact of the matter is he's sitting on the outskirts of town in an ash heap, scraping with a piece of pottery scabs off his body. But he remembers there was a time when I had that prosperity. His ninth memory is, I had a revered reputation. He says in verse 7, when I went out to the gate of the city, when I took my seat in the square, the young men saw me and hid themselves. And the old men arose and stood. The princes stopped talking and put their hands on their mouths. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongues stuck to their palate. Now, Job gives us a very realistic look at what his life was like prior to him being hit with this satanic attack. He was a very wealthy, prosperous man, and he was a revered man. Now, the truth of the matter is, wealthy, prosperous people are rarely loved and revered. Most of the time, wealthy people are very lonely. They're envied and despised. But that wasn't the way it was for Job. There was a time when Job was esteemed by a whole lot of people. Now, there are four facts we learn about him. First of all, he was a leader. He says in verse 7, I went out to the gate of the city. Now, this was an official place. This was an official responsibility. What this would tell us is that Job was functioning as an official in public business, and he was actually sitting in a seat of honor. The second fact is he was feared by the young men. Look at what verse 8 says. The young men saw me and hid themselves. What that means is Job was so highly respected by young people, they'd get out of his way. When young people saw Job coming, they saw him coming, they had such a reverence for him, a respect for him, perhaps even a grasp of how righteous a man this was, that the young people just backed away from him. They were not about to hassle this guy. The third fact is, Job was esteemed by the old men. We see in the last part of verse 8, and the old men arose and stood. Now here's what's interesting. According to the Old Testament, according to like Leviticus chapter 19, what young people were supposed to do is rise and honor the elderly. In fact, young people were to rise and honor the elderly. When they did rise, it was a mark that they feared the Lord. They were to honor those with the gray hair. Job says, I was so respected at one point in my life that when I went out, old men honored me. The old men who were honored by others actually stood up for me. He says, I have a memory of that and how they reverenced me because I had such a wonderful relationship with God. The fourth fact is Job was respected by royalty. He describes people who respected him. He says the princes stopped talking, the serim, the officials of the city. He says they stopped talking and put their hands on their mouths. The voice of the nobles, the negadim, which are government authority, perhaps involved in military rank. But what we learn here is the most distinguished political leaders of the world honored Job. They respected Job. He was known and respected by princes and nobles. When Job was in their presence, they quieted down. Why did they quiet down? Because these guys realized, we want to hear what this guy has to say. In other words, when Job walked into the political leaders, whether they be princes or nobles, those princes or nobles said, you know, this is a man of God. This is a man of God who has a close relationship with God. We need to shut up, put our hands on our mouths, stop talking, and listen to what he has to say. The tenth memory is in the past everybody respected. We read in verses 11 to 17, for when the ear heard, it called me blessed. And when the eye saw, it gave witness to me. Let's just stop right there. Verse 11 says, whoever saw Job blessed Job. And it's clear from these verses that Job was not a man who just got blessings. He was a man who was a blessing. In other words, when Job was there, God blessed Job, God blessed others, and Job blessed others. And as a result, he earned the praise and the respect of every person in society. And what has brought out are five actions that Job was involved in, and he's thinking back to this. I remember when I was a leader, when I was respected, when people looked at me and respected me, here were the actions I was involved in. Action number one, I helped the poor. He says in verse 12, because I delivered the poor who cried for help and the orphan who had no helper, the blessing of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy. Now, back in this culture, and even in our day in some respects, wicked people made their fortunes by taking stuff away from widows and orphans and poor people. They just came in and looted it, just took what they wanted, and that was that. There wasn't much you could do about it. When poor orphans or widows came to Job, they found a friend. They found a friend who could turn their sorrows into joy. Job was not the kind of guy who just had some ritual righteousness. It was a very real righteousness. Job stepped in and helped. He helped the poor. Job said, I can remember back to a time when I did that. I did that for the people. Secondly, he was righteous and just. In verse 14, he says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. Job said, I made decisions that were right decisions. I made righteous decisions. Job is clearly establishing by this verse, I didn't do anything to bring this negative stuff on me. I was a man who was involved in non-partial judgments. I did what was right. I did what was righteous in the sight of God. I was righteous and just. His third action is he helped the handicapped. Verse 15, I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. Blind people found a friend in Job. He helped them. And he did things for them. Years ago, I clipped out a good story about President Clinton. Former President Clinton had an interesting thing happen to him before he became President of the United States. David Farron of Little Rock, Arkansas, became blind in 1962 when he damaged his optic nerve when he was delivering supplies to a missile silo that was under construction in Arkansas. And shortly after Bill Clinton lost his 1974 run for Congress, Mr. Farron met Mr. Clinton and told him at a fundraising event that he thought that one day Bill Clinton would be president of the United States. And then this blind man said to President Clinton, who was not president at the time, if you do become president, I would like you to give me a tour of Air Force One. Well, Mr. Clinton responded by saying, I'm not going to become president, but if I do, I promise you that I will let you tour Air Force One. Well, sure enough, one day after President Clinton had been elected, Air Force One landed in Little Rock, Arkansas, and they went and got David Farron, and David Farron got his wish. He was allowed to sit in the navigator's seat. President Clinton won a friend for life because he was kind to a blind man. Job says, that's the way I was to people. I was kind to handicapped people. If they were blind, I tried to help them. If they were lame, I tried to help them. In other words, I tried to do what I could do. He said, I'm remembering that. His fourth action is he defended the needy. Notice verse 16, I was a father to the needy, and I investigated the case, which I did not know. People so trusted Job that they would go to Job. They couldn't afford a lawyer. So they would go to Job, and they would ask him to defend them. And Job said, I was the kind of guy who, when anybody came for me for help, I tried to help them. I carefully tried to investigate the truth. I did that for people I didn't even know, cases I didn't even know. People were so familiar with the testimony of Job that they actually sought him out and they wanted him to help them. Which brings us to the fifth action, Job punished the wicked. Verse 17 says, I broke the jaws of the wicked and snatched the prey from his teeth. Job was not about to let the wicked get away with devouring anyone. Oftentimes Job would see one wicked attacking someone and he took the prey right away from them. It's no wonder that Job was so highly respected. It's no wonder that he's thinking back of a time when he had done these things. He'd done so much for so many. But you know what? This book of Job does teach us a very interesting lesson. People can turn against you in a hurry. People that once thought you were great can turn against you in a heartbeat. These people who had this guy do so much for them forgot about all he did for them. Popularity can be short-lived. Where were they when he needed their comfort? Where were they when Job needed encouragement? Where were they when Job needed help? These people had been helped so much by Job, and they're now alienated from Job. Fact is, according to what Job says, they had turned against Job, but Job still had his memories of the way things once were. Which brings us to the 11th memory. In the past, he had a positive future hope. Verse 18 says, then I thought I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. Job said, I thought this is the way life was going to work out. He saw his life as like a nest. He's surrounded by family and friends. He lives a long, productive life, and then he dies. Job never dreamed that life could take such a bad turn. He never dreamed that it could turn out so wrong. At one time, the future looked bright to him. He had hope for the future, but no more. The 12th memory is, in the past, he had a refreshing life. Verses 19 to 20. My root is spread out to the waters, and dew lies all night on my branch. My glory is ever new with me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. Job said, I can remember back to a time when I was strong like a tree. And I can remember time when I was being refreshed by God. And I can remember times when I was refreshing others. I was strong. I was alive, just like a strong tree. Every day he lived life. He was ready to get life underway and tackle the battles. He had been a guy at one time who had been renewed. He was alive. He had been a friend to many people, but now he's beaten down. Which brings us to the 13th memory. In the past, people listened to him. He says in verse 21, to me they listened and waited and kept silent for my counsel. After my words, they did not speak again, and my speech dropped on them. Job said, there was a time when I could go into the presence of people and expound things, and they were so shocked and quieted by what they heard, they didn't even say anything. Job was so thoroughly convincing in presenting the truth. And he had the power of God behind him that he left an audience in total silence and awe. He was the last word. When he presented something, it was so thorough that it left them speechless. Which brings us to the 14th memory. In the past, people wanted to hear from him. Verse 23, they waited for me as for the rain and opened their mouth as for the spring rain. Job says, I was at one time a speaker people wanted to hear. Crowds of people would wait for him to speak. He obviously had a very unusual relationship with the Lord, and he could present the word of God in a way that refreshed them like the rain. And there had been a time when the people waited to take what he had to offer. The 15th memory is in the past. He was kind and gracious even to unbelievers. He says in verse 24, I smiled on them when they did not believe, and the light of my face they did not cast down. Job says, I was a gracious minister to unbelievers. Before this stuff hit Job, unbelievers liked Job. Fact of the matter is, the non-believing world were inspired by Job. They were inspired by his commitment to the Lord, inspired by the things he said, by what he did. But think about how these people were treating him now. He had been the best believer on earth. He's not even being treated with the respect you'd give to an unbeliever. Which brings us to the final memory. In the past, he made leadership decisions. Verse 25, I chose a way for them and sat as chief and dwelt as a king among the troops, as one who comforted the mourners. Job had been an appointed chief, Rosh, a major leader. Job had functioned as a man who called the shots. There was a time when he could think back when he was a key leader. People respected him. People listened to him. People followed his lead. But because of all these negatives, because of all the things that had hit Job, his name had been ruined. He no longer had his friends. He no longer had respect. He no longer was wanted. Nobody wanted to listen to him anymore. In fact, the guys around him are telling him, will you shut up? Nobody wants to hear him speak anymore. All he had were his memories. As long as you're on top of your game, you're wanted and you're wonderful. But when the bottom falls out and people can't seem to figure out why and they don't have an explanation for it, this is what fickle people do. There are some practical lessons to learn from this 29th chapter of the book of Job. There are times when we need to remember the way things were. There are times in our lives when we need to think back, you know, I don't know where this thing went crazy, but I'm going to go back in my memory and remember good stuff. I'm going to think about it. Secondly, there are people who will respect and praise you one minute and turn against you the next. Boy, if it happened to Job, it sure can happen to us. There can be people that you thought were your close friends one minute, and then all of a sudden you discover they're not my friends at all. They at one time were patting me on the back. Now they don't even talk to me anymore. Thirdly, with God, the way things were can once again become the way things are. That is about to happen to Job. Job is thinking back on all the things that at one time had been so wonderful in his life. It's about to happen again. He just didn't sense it or see it. But he stays faithful. And because he stays faithful, God is going to bless him. When we're right with God, the future is always bright. And that's the way it was for Job. May we pray. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can think back to all the moments of your life and you can think you're not so bad. But the fact is, God has kept a record of every single sin you've ever committed, thought, word, action. It's on file. And you'll never have a chance at going to heaven based on anything you'll ever do in this life. And that is why Jesus Christ died on that cross. And if you will believe on him, you will be forever saved. Right now where you sit, you can do that. For those of us that know the Lord, the beauty of this text is that when Job thought back on the way his life had been, it was all true. This is the way it was for Job. May we be believers who establish a legacy in which people can look back on our lives and say those people counted for God. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful book of Job and the tremendous lessons that are in it. We thank you for his faithfulness. He was a man who put up with a lot, and we can't wait till we have the privilege of meeting him in eternity. What a special moment that's going to be when we get to see him and just let him know how much we appreciate the stand that he took. And I pray for people tonight who are going through difficult times, and Lord, we can't explain all the things that hit in people's lives, but you're God. And you know each and every one of them, and I pray that they would sense that. And I pray they would do what Job did. they would keep their focus on you. We want to pray also that as we are gone for a couple of weeks, that you would continue to protect us all, watch over the church, care for it, protect it, use it mightily in Jesus' name, amen.